Time is 7:31. You're listening to a live candidate call-in forum with our school board candidates. Molly Kabler is with me, and Tim Fulton is here as well. These are two of our three school board candidates this election season. Lillian Feldpouch is also running for school board. However, Lillian has to send her regrets this evening. I spoke with her earlier. She is still coping with a family medical crisis that is keeping her away, and we're sending her our good wishes tonight. And she still is very much in the running for one of these two open school board seats. Speaking of open seats, I have two open phone lines. The number is 747-5877 if you have a question for one of our candidates. And we even take really hard questions too. We'll sort them out and get your answer if we can. I wanted to jump onto another thread here, if I have the opportunity, and a caller doesn't cork me on this. I wanted to ask about the ASA drug testing policy, and this is part of my sort of canvassing people over the last few days about what issues are important to them. And drug testing, I guess, has been in Sitka schools for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years at the high school. And I talked to a parent today who was concerned that it was being conducted fairly and truly randomly. And I don't know if you've had a chance to explore the drug testing policy at all, Tim, but how do you just feel about it as a prospective board member?
Well, it was interesting. I was at the wrestling meeting last week, and I got to watch the presentation from ASA, and they put a nice spin on it, but it's my understanding that for the first couple of offenses, the Sitka school district is even tougher than that is, but the fourth strike rule is pretty intense. So I think it's something that we need to visit at the school board level to see if there's nothing we can do about the rule if we want to participate in these activities, but make sure that it is being it's not a select few chosen, and that it is truly random that we're doing it. Maybe look at the first offense and bring it more in line with the state regulations or the state rules for that. I definitely think that it's something that we need to look into.
Thanks, Tim. Molly, have you fielded complaints about drug testing over the years?
I have a lot of history with this issue and a lot of strong feelings. Number one, drug testing is something that we do in the Sitka School District, and it has nothing to do with the ASA policy.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake.
Drug testing is supported by the courts for athletics only, and we do drug testing, and we started it in Sitka at the request of parents and coaches, and it is random. I've watched them do the randomizing in the office. I feel confident that they're doing a good job. If you talk to students who've been drug tested, we had a PAC meeting the other night at the high school, and there were parents asking questions, new parents to the high school asking questions about drug testing, and the principal asked the students that were there. They were there because they were attending a meeting for a government class. How many of them were involved in athletics and had been drug tested? And virtually every student raised their hands and were like, this is a no-brainer. This is just the way it is. It is not particularly controversial at Sitka High. I got the call from the high school that my student had been drug tested that day, no problem. Came home, was waiting to hear the word from my student. My child never even mentioned it. And I said, well, what about that? And they said, oh, yeah, no big deal. That's normal. You know, didn't even register as something particularly difficult. Mom, if you don't use, it's a non-issue. So that's sort of the Sitka School District version of drug testing. The ASA policy that's new, I'm opposed to.
The four strikes.
Right. And what this is, from my perspective, the end of local control. I think the Sitka School Board should be allowed to set our own policy. We had one. It involved sanctions against students for infractions. And it it really didn't have to do with drug testing. Our drug testing policy was to give kids a reason to say no and is focused on prevention, not on catching kids and not on trying to exclude them from activities. So there's a philosophical difference there. And yes, our policy for the first couple of infractions was harsher than the current statewide policy that was put into place by ASA, which is the organization that runs statewide athletics and activities. I don't believe they really should be setting statewide policy in terms of that we as a school district now have no choice, our students have no choice but to be under the four-strike rule, because if they aren't willing to, they can't participate. And to me, that's wrong. So the issue is that if you have four infractions, you are out of the opportunity to participate in athletics or activities on a statewide basis for your entire school career, your high school career. And some young students come into high school and they need to learn things. They make mistakes. I think the teenage years are a time when we should help kids learn from their mistakes and not say, oh, you're out. Never have an opportunity now that you grow a couple of years. I'm sorry, the things you did as a freshman, you don't get an opportunity now to come back and participate in those activities. So unfortunately, our hands are tied. If students want to participate, we had to adopt this policy to be eligible to be involved in statewide activities.
Now, four infractions or four strikes are not four failed drug tests.
Has nothing to do with our drug testing.
It's like a minor consuming or something.
No, it's tobacco use. It's pretty typical minor offenses in my book.
On school grounds or off school grounds?
I'd have to get the regulation back out. I don't have it all committed to memory. So okay. I don't want to say what it is or isn't without that right in front of me. To be fair to the folks who adopted this, they believe that having this lineup, kids will really take it seriously and they'll never get to the fourth strike. That's mm-hmm. the point of it. So that's right. Supposed to be the good side of this.
Okay.
I sure hope we don't ever get there.
All right. So, Tim, I guess in fairness, I have to re-offer the question to you with the correct information. It sounds like some board members reluctantly went with the ASA policy. They felt their hands were tied on it. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes, I am. I am reluctant with it as well because, like Molly was saying, it's for tobacco any type of thing, and it's my understanding, and I would agree that I don't have it right here in front of me, but it's my understanding that it can be anywhere, and you don't have to be participating in the sport at the time, that it can come back and bite you, if you will. So
if the school board is discontent with the policy and parents are discontent with the policy, what's the next step?
Well, I asked that question last year when we passed the policy, mm-hmm. and they said, you know, well, we could complain to ASA, but we did, and that didn't change anything. You know, we called and said we didn't agree with this, but...
Do you feel ASA is responsive to the public and parents? I know that when we field complaints about, say, national news... broadcast over Raven Radio, we often encourage listeners to go directly to the news source, since that seems to be a more meaningful form of criticism than us just calling them up and complaining yet again about mm-hmm. something that mm-hmm. didn't work out for us. Have you got a sense of how that should go? Or is it still too early to tell?
Let me find out.
Okay.
I don't know, really.
I would suggest just going to the ASA's website and sending some messages. It's a pretty easy link, and just let them know and see if it does make a difference.
Alaska School Activities Association. One other question on behalf of a listener interested in the drug policy. Again, it's not an ASA policy; it's a district policy. Why aren't all activities involved, even the, her words were the brainy activities, DDF and so on. I know those programs used to be involved in drug testing, but not anymore. Should they be again? Molly?
Thanks. The drama debate team requested to be involved in drug testing. I think, you know, there was a feeling that activities that involve travel, that was a legitimate reason to be involved in drug testing. Unfortunately, the courts really are only supporting the legality of drug testing for activities that involve athletics. And the point being that it would be dangerous to your health to be engaging in athletic pursuits and using drugs. So that's the sort of the rule of thumb for why it's only athletics. And so we felt like we couldn't risk someone challenging us if we used other, if we involved other activities in our drug testing pool. And there were teams who wanted to be, but the problem is that the legal opinion seemed to be that it was would be considered coercive to say, okay, well, if everyone agrees, because you're implying that you would have to agree to be involved, and so you simply wouldn't be involved. You know, I mean, it's just that it wasn't, that the choice wasn't really a real choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To be involved or not.
All right. Thanks, Molly. Tim, if you're elected to the board, you'll be inheriting this policy. Do you think it should be universally applied to all groups, or it sounds like the more conservative legal approach is to go with just the athletic approach, but you'd be a board member. You could lobby for something else.
Something different. Yeah, I was surprised. I just found out that it wasn't inclusive of all activities, and I can appreciate why it's not. So, I didn't know that until Molly just mentioned the reasoning. I hadn't got that far. It was yesterday I was talking with my daughter to see if she had been tested. She was doing the DDF, and she said, no, it's not a part of it. And I hadn't asked any questions, but yeah, legality parts of things, it seems like the right thing to do, but you get into that part of stuff, it makes it really complicated.
All right. You had another thought on this, Molly?
Yeah, drug testing is controversial. There are people who feel like it is not the right thing to do, that it's invasive. And when you have those kinds of issues, it is sometimes an invitation for people to bring a suit. And so really, from my perspective, what's best for kids is not to spend our time and energy in courts. So while, you know, it's nice to take a stand, really, at this point, I, from a board perspective, have to spend my time and energy on
good point.
Energy toward good educational programs and finding funds for activities and things like that.
All right. Thanks, Molly. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our school board candidates, Molly Kabler and Tim Fulton. I got two lines open right now. We'd be delighted to hear from you. I have some more emailed questions. Again, we'll shift from the high school back to the other end of the spectrum here to Baranoff Elementary. Molly, I guess in the spirit of disclosure, your children and mine both benefited from multi-age classrooms at Baranoff Elementary. And Tim, maybe your child was involved in that too. And I gather multi-age classroom is gone from Baranoff. How do you feel about the multi-age classroom? And should the board do some sort of policy push to bring them back?
Well, I think that there's some of the students it works really well for. My daughter was in it for 1 year, and the next year it just wasn't something that was beneficial to her. But I think having those options, and here I'm not sure why it went away and why what that choice was. So, but it was nice for some. I've seen some kids really excel in those multi-age classes. So I would need to know why and see if it could be revisited again or something like that.
Molly, your thoughts on the multi-age classroom?
Well, I experienced it from a parent perspective. My children were both in multi-aid classroom and really enjoyed it. In fact, the transition from second grade to third grade was huge because it was the first time they'd had a new teacher since starting elementary school. It's a lot of work doing a multi-age classroom, preparing for an even broader spectrum of students. And it kind of goes back to your question about you know, where do we set the tone? Is it top down, or do we allow it to happen from, you know, the level of teachers? So if you don't have teachers who really are excited and happy to do it, it's probably not going to be a good fit. So to mandate it, is that going to work well? Not likely from my perspective. So if we had a teacher that, you know, we could find, or teachers, it requires fit, you know, you're doing something different, and so then it requires a match and a fit to make things happen. So that'd be my set on it.
Yeah, I seem to recall back in our day, there was the right sort of combination of teachers to just stair-step your kids up through a multi-age classroom right through fifth or fourth grade. Oh, the mist of time. Sorry. Maybe we should go to the call before I get all weepy here. Hi, do you have a question for our candidates?
I do. And this might be a little bit of a loaded question, but it's how does a school board, how do they foresee in the future, and how do they currently work with individual schools to nurture high needs kids, and also still offering educational challenges to the general group of general public of kids, I guess, without just doing blanket programs where, you know, it's a canned program that one size fits all. So how do they nurture each individual school to do this, and what's their future in, you know, thinking about meeting both needs?
All right. And by high needs, do you mean gifted and talented? Or...
No.
Exceptional, or kids with special needs.
Kids with special needs.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for your question.
And both, kids with gifted needs and then kids with special needs. So
all right.
The full spectrum.
Okay, thanks very much for your question. Mm-hmm. Molly, do you want to take this one?
Sure. I was confused also by what high needs. So going back, the question was, how do we develop a program for individual students, and how do we nurture schools to deal with this issue within them? Is that...
Yeah, individual students across the spectrum of needs, those, I gather, at either end, you know, special intensive needs and then sort of the gifted and talented needs. I know there's funding differences there. The special needs students, there's more funding there. There's not a funding differential for very, you know, for... gifted and talented students, but how does the district adapt to meet these kinds of needs?
Right. Well, there's a big set of laws that govern special needs students. Special ed is a huge issue in schools. We spend tremendous amount of money on meeting special needs students, and there's a lot of law and a lot of case law and paperwork that's involved in that. So we have a special ed director that manages a lot of those issues across the district. And, you know, it would be great to be able to design a program for every single student, because each student is an individual. I would love that. Unfortunately, we are an institution. That's not possible. We do get funding for gifted and talented students. It's just not based on a count. So, you know, we get a certain aliquot in our special ed monies that are based on, you know, that you're going to be delivering some services to gifted and talented students. How do we do it? Carefully. We work at it all the time. Elementary teachers are amazing at individualizing for students. I think that's been a skill that elementary teachers have had for many years, having a whole classroom of kids. They're supposedly all one grade, you know, in an age range, but they really come with a wide variety of needs and abilities, and teachers are amazing. When you get to middle school and high school, there can be some sorting out in terms of how kids choose what classes they want to take.
All right. Thanks, Molly. Tim, your thoughts here?
Yes, I have been involved with the special needs in our school district here a little bit, and the process that Molly was talking about is in place. It's mandated and so on, but I think more importantly than that is there's a great group of people that are dealing with our special needs, and they're really caring. And it does come down to looking at the individual, and it's called the 504, and what they need for their learning, and the teachers are able to address it either in the classroom or somebody else comes in and looks at it and so on. And my involvement with it, I'm just very impressed with the caring of that. On the top end, with the gifted and talented, it seems to me that we're a little bit lacking there, that we could be doing a better job with that. So hopefully All right. that answers the question.
Thanks, Tim. We have another caller. Heidi, you have a question for our candidates?
I do. Yes, given that Alaska has one of the higher expulsion rates of preschoolers in the nation, I think we're 25th. That was the 2005.
You said expulsion rates?
Expulsion rate, yes. Kindergarten, preschoolers being kicked out of preschool and kindergarten, and preschool and childcare for behavioral problems. And now, you know, these same children will be entering kindergarten. What do the candidates recommend, or what kinds of recommendations would they be making to the system to better meet the needs of these children that are coming into kindergarten? With behind the eight ball, and given that socio-emotional development lays the foundation for cognitive development, what would they be recommending to the system to meet the needs of these kids?
I had a follow-up for you, if you don't mind. What, in your looking at the data, is what would you say is the major reason that Alaska runs so high in these stats? Why are these kids being removed from school?
It's not from school. It's from child care or preschool. And it's for disruptive behavior or challenging behaviors. So let's say not being able to get along with other children, high levels of disruptive behavior in group, not being able to work within a small group. Fighting, biting, hitting.
Okay, I see. And your question for the candidates is how should the district work to reintegrate these kids at kindergarten?
Well, my question is, what would they recommend as a system to make sure that these kids are able to enter kindergarten and be supported?
All right. I'll put it to the candidates. Thanks for your question. Okay. Should I do a coin toss here, or does someone want to take it first? Tim, I think it's actually your turn.
Okay. Boy, I had not heard that statistic. I had not been anywhere close to that. I guess I would take this as one of the things that it's interesting is you become a candidate, some of the stuff that hits your radar. And one of those was the importance of our early learning programs. And the difference, I was reading some information here a while back that was comparing the dollars that we spend in early education to the dollars that are spent in institutions afterwards, people get in trouble, getting sent to jail, so on and so forth. And it makes a big difference in our early education. So I think where I would take that is, why are we not able to control these kids? Why are they getting kicked out so quickly? Is there something we can do on that side of things rather than what to do with them once they get into kindergarten?
All right. Thanks, Tim. Molly?
Well, in the Sitka School District, we have something called the Developmental Learning Preschool, and if there's a child who can qualify for service, they can get tested, and at age three, they are served by the school district to help them gain the skills needed to be successful when they join regular kindergarten class. So there is some structure there already. The other thing is, as a community and a nation, unfortunately, if we could realize the importance of early learning preschool programs and really understand how to help kids integrate there, that's a huge first step. And I think that's kind of what the caller was alluding to, that if they could actually be more involved and not kicked out of a program, they'll be better ready when kindergarten comes. And they're absolutely right. We don't have control of all of those programs as a district, so there's no simple answer there, but I do support things like Head Start, and also if if there are families who anticipate that they're going to have problems and they want to have their children assessed and figure out whether they're eligible for developmental learning preschool, that would be one place.
All right. Thanks, Molly. We're down to our last 4 minutes here. I want to thank everybody who's called in so far and thank the candidates as well. I had one or two more questions regarding faculty and instruction and teachers. The school district contract with its faculty is going to be renegotiated in 2010. If you two are elected to the board, you'll be part of those negotiations. And I wonder, Molly, if you would describe what are the most important qualities you believe a teacher can have and can the district afford to hire somebody with those qualities?
Well, it is interesting because when we go out to hire teachers, it is a national market. It isn't the market of Sitka. We're competing with districts all over the state and the nation, really, for the best teachers. I don't think there's any one quality that makes the best teacher. Some of it's a match with a school district. Some of it is the position that you're looking for. And I think we need a combination of teachers bringing experience, and then we also need teachers who come. We need sometimes to give teachers who are brand new out of school an opportunity to come into the district and, you know, gain their experience in our district. So I'm not sure what the one quality is. One of the questions you had in here was, you know, what about a new teacher being able to afford a house in Sitka? And affordable housing is an issue for us, but, you know, I think that really in any industry, the lower end of people just starting in and going up the ladder don't necessarily start at a wage where they can buy a house. I mean, that's a nationwide issue. I wish we could say that, you know, our housing is so affordable that everybody can, but that's not always a reality. And I don't know that we'll really be able to say, set the level of pay and saying that you're going to be able to afford a house in Sitka. It's not realistic.
Okay. Thanks, Molly. Tim, what are the qualities you look for in a teacher, and what are your thoughts about the compensation package that you might be involved in a couple of years?
Well, I'm going to skirt that a little bit. My first thought of that when I saw that question was, and Molly's reply here, and I don't know, but what popped in my head is, why are we looking outside, or is there not quality people that are here in Sitka that we could be bringing in? And, you know, where's that at? I know that there's some substitute teachers and integrating them into our system. But the quality I'd look for in hiring a teacher, I guess, would be passion. I think that really wanting to make a difference in our kids' lives is important, and and bring that in. The problem with affordable housing is if we are bringing them in from a national market, you know, from elsewhere, that is going to be an issue. But if we can promote from within, if you will, I think that we can do better that way.
All right. Thanks, Tim, and thanks for participating this evening. Molly, likewise, thanks to you for coming in.